Live from beyond the Beltway, this is Bruce Dumont with our weekly analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most important, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Democratic businessman Rush Darwish, conservative attorney and former Reagan administration Justice Department official Joe Morris. And in our second hour, we'll be joined by the former mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana, Greg Ballard, and longtime political commentator Larry Horst from Florida, although he happens to be in Chicago this evening, but again, he normally works out of the great state of Florida. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. We do this program just outside Chicago in the studios of WINDAM 560. That is the Salem radio station in the city of Chicago. And again, it's nice to have you with us this evening. We've got lots to talk about. We'll be talking about things, literally, if you pick the top 5-10 things you want to talk about, you'll hear them discussed at some point this evening. And I want to begin with Rush Darwish. Rush is with us, and Rush is he's a Democrat. He doesn't necessarily cotton to the term progressive, but he is a Democrat. And I want to get your reaction to Donald Trump. And you've been on this program many times. You're critical of Donald Trump. But I want to ask this question of you, and Joe Morris will be joining us soon, and our callers were perhaps an answer to this question as well. In your view, what is the practical, real-life impact if Donald Trump is indicted, a president of the United States indicted?
Well, this is going to really surprise you because, you know, I'm very, very critical of Donald Trump, the history of Donald Trump, and I really do think he's a dirtbag. Mm-hmm. What they have on now, this indictment about the hush money, I just don't think it's strong. I think it does feel like a witch hunt. This does not make him, again, a good person. It does not make him somebody who should be our president. But it does feel that he is being attacked by the Democrats. It is a ploy to distract the public. To some degree, it's going to work. But we are so far out from the election that I don't think this is going to last long. I think this is eventually, even if he gets indicted, I still think there's enough time for the skies to clear and for Donald Trump to run for president. And we should all, as Democrats, be very worried about that.
He says that this could help him. Do you agree with that?
I do. I do, because of the fact that the indictment to me is soft. It's an issue that was brought up in the past about this hush money deal. It was brought up during his presidency when he ran for president in 2016. Yeah.
People voted on this before.
It's old news. It's not even worth discussing to some degree. I think he's going to get past it. Of course, I know the Manhattan DA will get a kick out of it. I know some people like myself might enjoy the fact watching Donald Trump get indicted, possibly in handcuffs. But yes, ultimately, the Trump base will rally together. And what I see is Donald Trump becoming stronger than this, no doubt about it.
He said last night in a speech in Waco, Texas, he said that the weaponization of the justice system is the thing that is frosting him right at the moment. And he said that this is the central issue of our time. Do you agree with that?
Can
he use that as his re-election motto?
I don't think so. I think it is just enough for the Trump supporters to take a close look at the government, the Democrats, and say that this is another witch hunt. And I think if Donald Trump is smart, if I was playing fantasy Donald Trump consultant, yes, it's possible that maybe one day that could happen. It's a crazy world we live in. But somebody needs to advise Donald Trump that this is a short-lived deal to help get you to the next step, and not something I would continue to ride all the way until 2024.
Don't many Democrats, don't many people in this country, perhaps African-Americans, not exclusively, but largely in the African-American community, don't they agree that in their lives they feel that they have been a victim of a weaponized justice system? And so they may not like Donald Trump personally or politically, but when someone says that they think the Justice Department has been weaponized and used against them, don't many African Americans believe that?
Well, here's what you're hoping for, and that people can be smart, that you really can't compare the two issues. if we're going to talk about a history of African Americans where the justice system has failed them, that is a fact. And it's something we have to continue to work on. We have to make sure we have transparency, to make sure we have the right judges that are treating everyone equally with respect to the law. But let's not forget what Donald Trump is being indicted for. This is a man that, you know, he's cheating on his wife. He's at some golf outing in Las Vegas or Reno and ends up hooking up with a porn star. So I hope that anyone who wants to compare the two will know that you really can't compare them. Does our justice system need work? Absolutely. But I would like to think that the smart voter will be able to distinguish the two.
But voters also, and not exclusively in the African-American community, they know that prosecutorial misconduct, which is the term Donald Trump uses, is one that they have used. Selective prosecution. It isn't every person that gets prosecuted for something, but maybe a lot of blacks feel that they're in the target of the Justice Department. So the context of prosecutorial misconduct, whereas Donald Trump is you know, spouting it as a billionaire who's hooking up with a porn star and paying her some hush money, $130,000, you know, the charges are different, but the reality is that some prosecutor thinks that this is a big deal. And there's a lot of prosecutors who think that things that African Americans do are big deals, and they get prosecuted.
Let's talk about the history of Donald Trump and the Trump family. I do agree. There might be some people who will sway on Donald Trump's side and say, you know what, this is a picture of how our justice system operates. But again, I'd like to think most voters, even African-American voters, will know the history of Donald Trump and his family, who are known as horrific slumlords in terms of mistreating people and, you know, properties that they've owned and where they have not updated the facilities. And they are also historically known for not renting to African-American families. This is their history, and I hope that people who want to make decisions of whether to vote for Donald Trump or not, especially the African-American community, look at the history. Look at Charlottesville when he said both people are good. And he did say that.
No, he did not.
Both sides are good.
He said there are good people on both sides. That's what
good
he said.
People. Well, you got one side that's protesting for equality while the other side are coming, and some of them are coming with guns. They're coming with wearing masks
and
that
some,
were emulating the KKK. How are they good people?
Because some of them who were there were protesting the use of the Confederate flag on state property. So there were some issues there. Now, again, the left and the media has done a wonderful job of making that a huge incident, and it was a big incident to some extent. But to say that Donald Trump, you know, repeating that same line, that is a line that easily can be misconstrued and certainly misrepresented, which is what I think you're doing tonight.
Well, I got to tell you, I was just like you. I watched in horrificness, and I will tell you that I saw somebody was very racist that day, and it was the President of the United States.
Okay, on that note, we're going to pause. 1-800-723-8029. Our conservative is on his way, so hopefully he will be in the building, and we'll get him to respond to some of the things that Rush said in the first segment. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings. The kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Bruce Dumont continues on Beyond the Beltway, live from Chicago. And again, it's a very stormy and rainy Chicago. And Joe Morris, our Republican guest, was stuck in the city for a while, but he joins us for this segment. He's the former Assistant Attorney General of the United States, working under Ed Meese during the Reagan administration. Joe, I want to go over some of the things that we talked about when you were en route. My first question was, what is the practical impact if Donald Trump is indicted? What does it mean to the country? What does it mean to the average person? How devastating is it, in your view?
I think it begins to turn the United States, if we're not already on the path, becoming a banana republic and perceived as a banana republic domestically and internationally. I think it's very dangerous that we're on a way toward starting a pattern in which we have a president and we elect a new Congress and the new Congress doesn't like the old president and they impeach him. We've done that. Each party's done that now across the aisle, in Brazil and Philippines and in various countries around the world. You have a change in government and they start arresting and prosecuting the former presidents and ministers. And
so, but if a crime has been committed, according to a definition by a local or a federal prosecutor, are we to ignore that?
No, of course not. I mean,
what do we do?
Well, the maxim, of course, is no one is above the law. But the law should not be, in Dickinson's words, ass. The prosecutorial discretion is appropriate. If the president of the United States does something like try to overthrow the government, manufacture a riot in an effort to prevent the proper counting of votes, prosecute him. If you've got the evidence, prosecute him. If there's a high crime or misdemeanor, prosecute him. What the district attorney in Manhattan is talking about is first of all, the business of paying off the prostitute or whatever the allegation is. I'm having no more ease in understanding the facts.
Porn star, than we don't know.
Ron DeSantis right. Had with these facts.
Yeah.
I don't want to wallow in the facts. would be a misdemeanor. It's being elevated into a putative felony because the allegation now is
okay.
That it was failure accurately to describe a campaign contribution. So let's see. You have a Democratic politician a few years ago who barely escaped prosecution because he used campaign funds to pay off some amorous party. And now we're
Senator Edwards.
Now we're charging Donald Trump with a felony because he did not use campaign
funds. So if we were to invite you back here in a couple of weeks, when the issue was whatever the prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia decides, and if that person decides to indict, or if there is a federal...
What's the charge in Fulton County, Georgia?
Well, it would be tampering with the elections.
The Georgia elections?
The Georgia elections. Now, would you give us the same answer, or is that a little more serious issue? Or we certainly...
It's far more serious.
You have brought up the issue of the alleged
riot.
Intersection.
The January 6th riot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious business. First of all, the stuff that District Attorney, what's his name, Atkins in New York is concerned about, I think the statute...
Alvin Bragg.
Bragg. The statute's limitations have run. So we're teetering on the edge of putting a former president of the United States in the dock. More importantly, a current candidate for the presidency of the United States in the dock on trivial matters in which a statute of limitations
is. Is it?
If we have serious charges of election tampering in Georgia, then I'm all for it because I think that tampering with elections is serious business.
Okay. Let me also ask you as a member of the court, and I want to get Rush's response as well. Well, he's a businessman, not an attorney. But again, what Donald Trump also has been doing, he has been urging his supporters to show their support or their concern or upset if he's prosecuted. He has used threats that there may be death and destruction if he's indicted. He's called his prosecutors in New York human scum. You can say that. But my question is he in the process of intimidating a local prosecutor, and isn't that against the law?
No, he's got free speech rights.
I want to get Rush's response to whether this alleged incitement, and I say alleged incitement, how do we view that in the future?
Well, when you talk about Donald Trump, his entire political career has been built on alleged incitement. Charlottesville, January 6th, with, again, alleged incitement of thousands of people attacking, the Capitol building. And, of course, now with him being ready to get indicted, he's once again inciting. This is his only specialty. The only thing we can hope for is that time has gone by where he does not have the power he used to be during what I call the peak of MAGA in 2016, 2017, 2018. But this is where Donald Trump is a specialist, but it's going to hurt him when it comes to running for president.
Joe.
That's absolutely right. Mr. Trump is a master at inciting people to see things his way and to action. The problem is, as time goes by, the crowds responding to him are dwindling. I cannot see any way in which the current crisis creates opportunities for him to agitate in such a way as to expand his support.
Do you then believe that the delays that we have seen this week by Prosecutor Bragg, are they legitimate legal reasons to slow down this process? Or do you think that Alvin Bragg is being intimidated? There certainly has been reports that members of his office, his current and even past office, had some concern about this. Even previous prosecutors had some concerns about the evidence in this particular case. Could after, 7 to 10 days of this brutal rhetoric by Donald Trump, could it be working? Could Alvin Bragg blink on this matter?
Bruce, you and I don't know the facts. We can only speculate. We don't know what's going on inside Mr. Bragg's head, let alone inside his office. The media... The anti-Trump media is as breathless and as irresponsible as the pro-Trump media are. This is not a great moment in the life of our republic in terms of the seriousness with which people are addressing public affairs. But I look simply at the plain surface of things. The issues in front of the district attorney in New York are trivial in comparison with the overall political situation of the United States. And the evidence that he has already been passed over by other prosecutors at both the felony and the misdemeanor levels, who said this wasn't worth prosecuting. They didn't think they had the evidence. And now the district attorney in Manhattan is looking at the same evidence after the misdemeanor and felony statute of limitations have passed. If I were that district attorney, I'd be taking a second hard look at this, too. Sure, he hates Trump. He wants to make a name for himself as a prosecutor who finally nailed Trump. But if he's a sober, serious prosecutor, if he believes in the rule of law, he'll look at it twice and realize this is not a case to
be. Yeah, but he promised, when he was running for office, he promised that he was going to prosecute Trump. Rush.
Joe, look, I'm on this show to see if we can disagree with our fellow Republicans, but I am with Joe 100%. The Manhattan DA, federal prosecution, they've been a complete disaster, a complete disgrace to law, and I'm not even a lawyer. How many times have they tried to get Trump? On a federal level, on a local level, they have failed. I mean, this is a man who, according to what we saw, has violated every tax code you can think of, right? But yet, they can't figure out a way to prosecute him. And of course, then you have now with this Stormy Daniels, they try and prosecute him. They can't get that right. Every time they've tried to prosecute him, it seems that the media is doing a better job than lawyers.
You know, Bruce, I agree with that. And Mr. Trump looks pretty scuzzy a lot of the time. Bill and Hillary Clinton look pretty scuzzy a lot of the time. But bringing actions, criminal lawsuits against them, it does not elevate discourse in our republic. It doesn't serve the larger constitutional interests of the American people. It doesn't protect our country in a very dangerous time when enemies like Mr. Putin in Moscow and Mr. Xi in Beijing are probing us for our strategic and cultural and civilizational weaknesses. What is more concerning to me than the follies of Donald Trump and the follies of Bill and Hillary Clinton or the follies of any of the other politicians are the follies of the law enforcement, intelligent, and prosecutorial communities. Jim Comey was a disaster for the American people. Whether we're looking at Jim Comey as bringing down Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2016 or Jim Comey lighting the gasoline of the completely phony Russian collusion narrative relating to Donald Trump.
Joe, let me ask you this question. Last night in Waco, Texas, Donald Trump rally, he said that the weaponization of our justice system is, quote, the central issue of our time, end of quote. Would you put the weaponization, would you put it as high on your list as Donald Trump has put it on his list?
I'd put it in the top three or five, you bet.
Because?
Because in our constitutional system, part of what the rule of law means is that prosecutors, policemen, and intelligence agencies don't play politics. And we've had years here now since the Obama administration affecting negatively Mrs. Clinton, affecting negatively Donald Trump on our watch, in recent memory. We've had the prosecutors, the intelligence agencies, and the law enforcement agencies mucking around in politics trying to change outcomes, affect outcomes. That is a constitutional affront of major consequences. And as much as we dislike Hillary Clinton or as much as we dislike Donald Trump, we can't blame them.
Okay, when we come back, Rush, I want to get you a chance to respond to that also out there in beyond the Beltway land, 1-800-723-8029, 1-800-723-8029, if you'd like to respond to that on the issue of the weaponization of the justice system. And do you believe what Joe has just said and what Donald Trump said last night, that the weaponization of the justice system is the central issue of our time? That's true.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar? Or...
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
When you need me, I'll be by your side.
Bruce Dumont back, and before we continue with our political discussion, a sports update. The Final Four, it will be Florida Atlantic, UConn, San Diego, and this afternoon Miami beat Texas. So three of those four teams have never been to the Final Four. UConn has, but nobody else has. So this has been one of the most disruptive March Madness experiences. I mean, my brackets got screwed up all 15, 20 different ways, so I'll see whether I'm in any pool that still is alive.
But, you can hear brackets crashing from coast to coast
yes,
right now.
I mean, this has been, and I will also say, I'm a newborn college basketball fan. I've been a basketball fan for about 10 years now. And I got to tell you that the month of March in this period really is an exciting period. I mean, wherever you go, everybody's talking about it. And if you've seen the games, I mean, the nail biters, and it's unfortunate when we had a game this afternoon that I think ended on by a referee's whistle as opposed to a play at the basket. But again, it's a great time. We got a Final Four. We got another week, and again, it's a week from Monday is when we'll know the final winner. We've got two guests in studio. I want them to take a brief moment to introduce themselves to each other and to our audience, and then I want to pick up on our conversation of Donald Trump and the significance of the alleged indictment that may or may not be coming forward. Rush Darwish, we'll start with you. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Rush Darwish, president of the Arab American Business and Professional Association, also chairman for another group I should talk more about called the Refugee Life Foundation. We run and walk to raise money for various refugee causes. Matter of fact, April 30th, we have this event called the Humanity 5K, which will be taking place in Marine Valley Community College. And also, I own a photography, video, multimedia business, so we keep ourselves very busy, Joe.
Joe Morris.
Thank you, Bruce.
Well, you've got a long, we could do a half hour just on your introduction, but give us about a minute.
Well, you have some serious diversity in the studio tonight, because on the other side of the microphone here, you've got me, a Jew. Jewish American, several years president of B'nai B'rith, the world's largest and oldest Jewish service organization here in the Midwest, and very active in interfaith, including Muslim-Jewish dialogue processes. I'm delighted to see Rush here in the middle of Ramadan. I practice law in Chicago. I'm a longtime Chicagoan. I actually was born across the lake in Gary, Indiana, so I know from basketball from a Hoosier perspective, of course, as a kid. I'm a Republican. I've been president of the United Republican Fund of Illinois. I've been a member of the National Board of Directors of the American Conservative Union. In the years when Ronald Reagan was president, I served in the entirety of his 8 years in the administration in a series of sub-cabinet positions. I'm the poor man's Elliot Richardson. Finally, I was assistant attorney general to Ed Meese in the last 2 years of his administration, and for about half a year to Richard Thornburg. The area of responsibilities I had at the Justice Department were primarily involving international affairs, law enforcement, and civil matters, kind of the precursor of what today is called the National Security Division. There was no National Security Division in those days.
Okay. We go back to our discussion, and Rush, before the break, you were going to make a couple of points about our discussion about Donald Trump, not only the charges against him, but again, the rhetoric that he has used to create this aura of intimidation. If it's not real intimidation, it's certainly an aura of intimidation, what the impact that is on society.
I think there's definitely an impact. I don't want to make it out to be that when we see the law being abused, and by the way, the law is abused on both sides of the aisle. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue. But the way we see Donald Trump use it, it is insightful. And what ends up happening is he ends up developing what I call an audience. And sometimes part of that audience could be people of black and brown descent. And that's because he tries to bring both sides to say, well, look what the law is doing to me. Look how they're attacking. They're attacking me like the way they have attacked you. And really the question comes, does this mean that Donald Trump grows his voter base? Does it grow the Make America Great Again movement? And my answer to that is no, not really. Maybe just a little bit. Not enough to win an election. Not enough to have a messaging. And Joe, you work with a lot of candidates. I was saying before you came on, if I was playing fantasy Republican consultant, this is not a messaging point. If I'm running for the United States presidency, I would not carry this any longer than it needs to be.
Joe, a question to you. You're a Reagan Republican. You've evolved on Donald Trump. My recollection is you weren't a huge fan at the beginning. You were supportive of his presidency, much of it.
I'm supportive of many of his policy positions,
right,
and
but
I'm
not,
happy to praise some of the policy outcomes.
But not a fan of what happened a post presidency. Not a big fan. Is that a summary?
Well, that's fair.
Where are Reagan Republicans? The people
aching.
What are they aching for? What do they want?
A president or a party leader who is amiable, who has a very upbeat, optimistic vision of the goodness of this country, of its heritage, of its people, all of its people, who sees the direct organic connection between sound public policy and the nature of the American people, who is reasonably upright in his personal conduct, kind of, you know, circumspect, no surprises, no drama, Obama kinds of things. That was characteristic, certainly, of Mr. Reagan. What you saw was what you got. He was as amiable in private life and as centered and as stable in private life as he was, as you saw him in public.
Is there someone out there right now that fits that definition?
There are lots of people out there.
Such
who,
as?
Who fit that definition. Mr. Pence, Mr. DeSantis, lots of people.
So let me just say this. You think, Mr. Pence, with all due respect, Joe, you have Mr. Pence here who puts Christianity ahead of everything. And I have nothing against Christians. I love Christian people. But he brings an ideology that is so pro-Christian that there's no diversity. And that's what I see also when you look at a Donald Trump rally. I don't see diversity. What I see is a Christian movement, and I think Pence defines that. You really think that he includes everyone?
You got to open your eyes, Rush. I watched Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Mike Pence, when he was governor of Indiana, he ran a highly inclusive administration. He was a very effective governor of Indiana. I cannot quibble with the fact that a man brings his Christian values and principles to bear on his public and his private life. We all, you and I, ought to bring our personal religious principles to inform our ethics. We want people in public life to be ethical and moral. What informs our ethics and our morals, if not our personal religious backgrounds? We're not going into public life, we're not going into government, we're not going into public office to proselytize, to convert people to our religious views. But if we're going into public life to live out the golden rule, and Muslims have a version of the golden rule, and Jews have a version of the golden rule, and Christians have a version of the golden rule, if we're striving as public people to bring the golden rule to bear on making law and making public policy, isn't that a good thing?
I saw a vice president for 4 years, Joe, defend Donald Trump on every character issue, policy issue. And yes, if we want to talk about his governorship in Indiana, that's great. But what I saw were 4 years of somebody who was a hypocrite, somebody who was guarding a buffoon. And then all of a sudden, the last 2 months of office, because he did not swing the vote in Trump's way, then all of a sudden Trump dumped him. But when I look at Pence,
was that a profile in courage? On January 6th, was that a profile in courage by Vice President Pence, in your opinion?
Rush. Well, what I see was...
Who was that person?
What I saw with Pence was that was somebody who said, look, this is out of control. It's ridiculous. He thought Donald Trump, for once, he finally decided to put his foot down. And guess what? He decided to do the right thing. He decided he wanted to do the right thing, and he paid the price because Donald Trump destroyed him for it.
Let me mention that in hour number two, we're going to be joined by Greg Ballard, the former mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana, a longtime associate of the former vice president. I want to pick up on this discussion when he is part of that discussion, but I want to come back to the description of the ideal Reagan person. Are some of the things that Ron DeSantis has done and his style, his sort of punitive style, is that something that's too close to Trump, or is that the only way he can stay close to Trump in polls?
Neither. I mean, Donald Trump is not and should not be the measure of all things in our political life. We need more objective and independent yardsticks than that. People in politics sometimes have to play hardball. You use the tools that you have. You're talking about Mr. DeSantis, for example. I suspect what's in your mind may be the way he handled the politicization of the Disney organization. You use the tools you have.
Right.
That's a far cry from the kind of sort of radical approach that I think you're describing to Donald Trump.
And his backhanded slap at Trump when he responded to Alvin Bragg recently last week by bringing up that he didn't have any, I don't have any experience in dealing with porn stars and paying hush money to porn stars, but this prosecutor really did a bad job. I mean, more people talked about the slap than they talked about the attack on Alvin Bragg. Was that smart?
Is any aspect of what is alleged and laid at the feet of Donald Trump defensible in that case? Why would you get down in the mire and try to defend the conduct that's ascribed to Donald Trump? If you take the high road and you say Mr. Trump, like anybody else accused of crime or wrongdoing, is entitled to presumption of innocence.
Yeah, but you don't have to mention what the crime was.
No.
I mean that's the political side. I mean I'm saying that that his opposition, and certainly part of the Trump opposition, became very offended by that. The Trump team, by the way, is anyone, they have prohibited anyone who works for DeSantis or will work for DeSantis in the run-up to the primary. They will be persona non grata in a Trump administration if there is a second Trump administration. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly. Don't go away.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings. The kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes, with early diagnosis, pre-diabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or, my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
It's a bully, but we aren't afraid of a fight. It's elusive, but our focus never fades. It's deadly, but we were born to defeat cancer. You may not have heard of us, but our work has helped millions impacted by cancer. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We are leaders in advancing breakthroughs in immunotherapy, genomics, and personalized medicine. This research saves lives. After 65 years of fighting blood cancers, we've arrived at a game-changing belief. The cures for cancer are in our blood. The drugs and treatments we've developed for blood cancers have helped people affected by many different types of cancers. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Beating cancer is in our blood. Learn more at lls.org.
We continue on Beyond the Beltway. I'm Bruce Dumont. Let's head to phone calls. Let's head to Rio Linda, California. Eric is listening to us tonight. Go ahead, Eric. Nice to hear from California tonight.
Hello,
are you there?
Brian from Albuquerque.
Brian from Albuquerque.
Hello,
well, that's not who I have, but, you know, Brian from Albuquerque sounds
your
good to me.
Your screen never picked up. Hey.
Well, very good.
I
then you're on screen. Go ahead.
One of your guests was remarking that the Justice Department has never been this politicized and weaponized before, which is a falsehood. Anybody remember J. Edgar Hoover, all the shenanigans he pulled and the Palmer raids? And how about Richard Nixon? How about all the stuff that Nixon got away with? And I think the biggest threat to America is the poor quality of our politicians in general. I mean, the Democratic Party is a mess. There's nobody... so obvious choices to take on Trump. I give Joe Biden an effort. He's an 80-year-old man, for Christ's sake, and he's doing the best he can. But these are serious times, and the Republican Party has gone off the deep end in crazy town with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert and Santos and all these other clowns that they have in Congress. It's just unbelievable. And then I watched the Trump speech yesterday on YouTube through Newsmax, talk about, a 30 minutes of bootlicking. It was just incredible. I mean, Donald Trump's the greatest man that's ever lived. Did you know that? I mean, he's right up there next to Jesus. It's incredible how great that man is. And it's just...
Is there someone, Eric, I'm sorry, Brian, is there someone on the horizon that does interest you? What about Ron DeSantis? What about the former vice president? What about Nikki Haley? What about Mike Pompeo?
Okay,
anybody else interest
you? I got an Illinois name for you.
Who?
I like Tammy Duckworth. Duckworth. I don't think she wants to run yet. She's very smart. She's very tough. She's a decorated military veteran. I think she's someone to keep your eye on. But so many of these other actors we have in Congress, it's just a clown show, and the media just eats it up because it's so easy. You don't spend any money. You just hire some dimwit out of college and have them talk to stupid politicians all day, and then they put it on TV and make money. You know, it's just crazy how bad our media has gotten.
I agree with that.
Rupert Murdoch wanting to divorce himself from Trump, but it's going to...
Let's let Rush respond, Brian. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Brian, I do agree with you that right now there is not what I would call a standout candidate. I think Ron DeSantis, there's no doubt about it in terms of name ID. He seems to be the most interesting.
What about as a Democrat?
As a Democrat right now, we got to stick with Joe Biden. If Joe Biden is our president, he needs to remain our president. I'm not exactly thrilled with all his policy decisions that he's made in the last 2 years, but from a political standpoint, stick with the guy that's in office. He's definitely way, and I mean way better than Donald Trump. And guess what? If it's going to be Joe Biden and Donald Trump part two, I will put my $50 in the bank account anytime on Joe Biden to win again.
Joe Morris.
Would you take that bet?
Sure.
A former Secretary of Defense under President Obama once observed that Joe Biden's been wrong on every important national security issue in half a century. That isn't changing. If Democrats don't go with Joe Biden for a second term, rather than going to Vice President Harris, I like the idea of going to Senator Duckworth. And I'm not saying that as a judo act. That is to say, picking a weak candidate.
Right.
I think elevating somebody with the personality and the brain of Tammy Duckworth to national prominence would be a service that the Democratic Party could do to the American people. I think it would be very interesting to hear Tammy Duckworth at that level of national engagement.
Rush.
We're almost on the same page. I think President Biden made a mistake with Kamala Harris. He did. He won't say it out loud, but he did. Tammy Duckworth was the right decision. And if he were, as the plan was at one point, that he would serve 1 year and then basically give the keys to the vice president.
1 year?
That he would give the keys to the vice president, who was Kamala Harris. That was a mistake. I think Tammy Duckworth would have been the better choice.
I want to go back to Brian's comments about the Justice Department. I'm not here to defend J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover was terribly flawed. From the very beginning of his administration of the FBI, he goes all the way back to Woodrow Wilson. He was highly politicized on behalf of Woodrow Wilson all the way through the Kennedys, when he was the Kennedys agent spying on Martin Luther King, you know, and all that at Bobby Kennedy's, under Bobby Kennedy's orders, and so on and so forth. He was highly politicized. He would go to Lyndon Johnson with secret information that Johnson could use, you know, to twist the arms of politicians and so forth, affecting public policy, but he never inserted himself in trying to affect the outcomes of national elections. What happened in 2016 with the Russian collusion narrative and Comey's shots at Hillary Clinton, whatever was going on in his brain, was the involvement of the intelligence agencies in that game in 2016 and in 2020 makes Richard Nixon almost look like a choir boy, and the whole Watergate episode look like a little playground spat. What happened in 2016 was really serious. This is the first time we've had the intelligence and law enforcement agencies trying to affect the outcome of a presidential election.
Rush, how do you
That's
feel
serious
about
business.
That?
I agree. At the time when I was looking at the FBI and Comey, I was like, this guy is a true circus, a true disaster.
And then we learned it wasn't just him. It was scores of these people.
It was all the decision to work with social media in squashing the story about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Outrageous.
I mean, all these leaders of the intelligence community signing a letter. They lied through their teeth.
And this is of a piece with Brian's concern about the media. The media are falling down on the job. They're not serving the American people well.
Right.
Objectively pursuing truth, facts, laying the facts out instead of trying to shape our opinions. They're trying to tell us what our opinions ought to be instead of getting the facts out so that we can make up our own mind.
Yeah, and again, when you're trying to look in the facts, let's talk about what's happening with Fox News, the challenges of Dominion voting machines and Fox News. What is that doing to the ability to find the truth? That's the question. We'll get the answer in the second hour. To Joy and Eric, stand by on the phone. We've got more guests joining us in the next hour. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight on Beyond the Beltway.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar? Or...
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them. With honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So, talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
Bruce Dumont back on Beyond the Beltway. We begin hour number two of our show, and Rush Darwish continues with us. Joe Morris continues with us. They're in studio. They are a Democrat and Republican, and also joining us for this portion of the discussion is the former mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana, who's been with us, Greg Ballard. Greg, nice to join us. Have you join us from the great city of Indianapolis tonight.
Thanks, Bruce. It's good to be here once again.
We have been talking about the future of the Republican Party, the impact of Donald Trump, and there was a sort of elongated conversation in our first hour about Mike Pence. And you have been on this program before. Obviously, you are an associate of the former governor of Indiana. And I'm wondering if you would give us your assessment of where you think his presidential aspirations lie, and how successful could he possibly be at this moment in history?
Yeah, that's a great question. I haven't talked to him in quite a while. He's been obviously doing other things. But I always thought he wanted to be the president. I always thought he was thought that way and thought he would be a good president. As will that become a reality? I'm not sure. I think he might have trouble appealing to independents and even any Democrats that might want to cross over, because he's very ideological. He's very religious in how he approaches even his political life. And I'm not sure that's going to play very well in a general election.
Yeah. Our guest in studio certainly brought up that particular point last time, and although there may be some people out there, including in the media, that may want to give him an award for his profile and courage on January 6th, they could probably easily give him an attaboy, but that doesn't mean they're going to give him a vote for President of the United States. One of the big issues that Republicans and Democrats are dealing with at the moment, and that is the future of TikTok and the influence of TikTok on Americans, including the 150 million or so, most of which are under 35. And I'm going to start this discussion with you, Greg. From afar, is it a good idea? Are you worried about TikTok and its influence? And is it a national security concerned, or is it a nuisance?
I'm not sure what it is right now, because the only thing I'm concerned about is if there's some sort of data collecting that is finding its way into the Chinese Communist Party. If there's not, then I think we have to look at this thing differently. If there is, there's some proof to that, then I think the actions that they're talking about doing away with it, I think are legitimate. But if that is not occurring, if we cannot prove that, I think we need to be careful in how we're doing, how we go forward.
Joe Morris, how do you feel about it?
I agree exactly with that. I mean, that's the prism through which we have to look at this. We know that social media are sort of culturally devastating. They dumb us down, but that's freedom. We have to live with that. Technology creates opportunities to improve ourselves and demean ourselves, and how we use it is up to us. But Greg is right. A tool such as TikTok is, like the Huawei telephony technology, mm-hmm. if these are means by which the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese government can reap tons of data about Americans, dive deep into the daily lives of Americans, and use that data against the interests of the American people and the national security of the United States, that's a completely different thing. And I think we have to have our eyes open to that, because we know that the Chinese are desperately trying to rape this country of as much data as possible. The biggest, they have already stolen the digitized records of the entire United States Civil Service and its retirees. Like millions of digital data records on everybody in the executive, legislative, and judicial branches.
Go ahead.
I disagree with the gentleman. I mean, we have a country that I love, the United States, but America has a reputation of playing a big bully. If we're really going to address cybersecurity, there are thousands of apps out there, maybe not as big as TikTok, but all of them have the same agenda, and that is for you to download their app for free, and with that comes you giving up all of your data. It's just not TikTok. So if we are going to truly eliminate data breaching, if we're really going to do that, it can't be just TikTok. It's got to be Facebook, Google, and I can go on and on of all the tech companies that are ripping off our data, and who knows where our data is going. It's going to China, it's going to Russia, and it's going all around. So I think it's kind of hypocritical to single out TikTok when we have tons of apps that are doing the exact same thing.
Greg Ballard, your response to that?
Well, I only care if it's going to our potential enemies, frankly. We've been data sharing since probably the beginning of Microsoft Office Suite, I assume, in some way. And companies have been doing that for quite a while. It doesn't seem – I'm not a big fan of it, no question about that, but I'm not sure I see a way around it when they're so ingrained into the American society, particularly with the younger generation. But, my generation is Facebook, right? And there's quite a bit of that going on, and I don't see any. There may be an issue there, but certainly it hasn't manifested itself yet.
But if we're concerned,
I'm only concerned if it gets into the hands of the wrong people.
If we're obviously concerned that we don't want this to get into the hands of the Chinese Communist Party, but again, we're also dealing with what happened in this past election, where the major social media companies, above and beyond TikTok, they used their power, their reach, to determine information that they deemed was inappropriate for the American people to have about Hunter Biden's laptop. They completely turned their back on one of the oldest newspapers in the United States and said, "We are not going to allow you to tell your story written by reputable reporters, and we're not going to allow you to share that on our platforms. And so they set a standard for manipulating what the American people knew, and the American people, many of them, did not know about the laptop, and because of that, they made a decision. And had they known about the laptop, had they known about the laptop, they might have made a different vote. Joe? So the question is, it seems to me, I think that it is a lot more about TikTok.
We need, as a country, to have a big conversation about what we expect from our media, whether it's the old legacy print media like the New York Times and its editorial page, or it's the social media and the editorial judgments that they make. They are guilty of censorship. They're guilty of trying to preach to us and change our minds instead of giving us information. But, you know, it's a free country, and they own those platforms, and they're entitled to, you know, spew their editorial views, you know, one way or the other, just like anybody else. What concerns me, and this is going back to a topic we discussed in the last hour, what concerns me is that there is plenty of evidence that they are in bed with law enforcement and intelligence agencies in shaping their editorial policies and in effectuating those censorship decisions. In some instances, it seems the evidence is very strong that they're doing it at the behest of law enforcement and intelligence agencies. And if that's happening, that's not First Amendment. That's not First Amendment activity. That's criminal, and it's the weaponization of media in the service of these government cabals.
We got to pause, Rush. I want to get your response, also Greg's response as well. 1-800-723-8029. Do you see a comparison between TikTok and the other social media companies and the government's ability to manipulate the message? One manipulator is the United States. The other is China. Is there a big difference to you? Back shortly.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar? Or...
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control, and priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Bruce Dumont back, and we continue. Rush Garwish just said during the break that he does a lot of work with TikTok because of his profession. So tell us about your experience and your concerns. And I guess the question that I asked before the break, I mean, if there's a government that is manipulating message that are sent to you, is the United States manipulating your mail? Are you more concerned about that than the Chinese doing the same thing?
You have to look at the big picture, and the United States is a conglomerate when it comes to media. All the major platforms besides TikTok, even though you know they do have a base in the United States, but there comes a point where you have to draw the line, and we have to acknowledge that social media is just as big as broadcast television, and there is information being filtered nonstop 24 hours a day. So the question becomes, how do you take this on? How do you make sure that security doesn't get in the wrong people's hands, not just China, but it could be Russia and so on and so forth? And that comes back to cybersecurity. So instead of coming in and saying we're going to shut down TikTok, where there's hundreds of millions of users, including my kids, my nieces, and a whole generation, if you are truly worried about certain data breaching and going to China and other parts of the world, then yes, America needs to use its resources to try and combat that, which, by the way, is close to impossible. It's close to impossible.
Is it important? I'll start with you, Greg, on this one. Part of this story is the impact, and they have focused on social media, and they've focused on TikTok, but they've focused on all social media, really, in what I'm about to bring up, and that is the effect on young people, primarily young women, and it is causing psychological damage. It's causing a rise in suicide. It's causing a lot of impact on the behavioral activity of young people. And is that it's a medical alarm, a medical alert that has been sent out by the psychiatric community? And Greg, again, a question to you: we live in a free country, but I mean, is this a price of freedom that we have to protect our children in a different way?
I think we do have to protect our children in a different way. And it is, I don't know if it's, you know, the price of freedom necessarily. I hate to put it in such absolute terms like that, but I've been reading a lot of the history of our country all the way back to the founding. And it's interesting how much the media was manipulated from the very beginning. And so that continues to be done. I do think I am worried about the younger generation, but I'm more worried, as opposed to the psychological aspect of, if you will. What I'm more worried about the younger generation is that they're being told that the world is horrible, it's going in the wrong direction, and all of these things, and they're using social media as part of that, but other means too. I mean, actually, the facts.
But who's telling them that? I would say
exactly.
Right of center commentators are saying that as much as left of center commentators. So
I think both sides are saying that and trying to divide us in that regard. But the facts say something completely different based on historical data as to which direction the country and the world is going. And so that concerns me. And we use social media too much. And I worry about our young people and how they're growing up and what they think the future of the world is.
Joe Morris.
I think there are two things that are relevant here. One is, we pay a very serious price when we diminish the authority of parents over their children. We've been doing a lot of that in this society in the last couple of decades. It's not recent. Parents have an important job to do to protect kids. They need to do more when kids are younger, but they need to continue at it, you know, until kids are fully formed adults themselves. And protecting them from the internet, protecting them from predators on the internet and in social media of all kinds is something that prudent parents need to do. And if that means limiting access to various apps at stages of life, then parents should be doing that. The other thing, that I think is an even greater concern to me than my concerns about the manipulation of our society by intelligence and law enforcement agencies in a non-transparent way, trying to affect outcomes of elections. The weaponization, as some politicians put that, of those tools of government, is the culture-wide demeaning of the meaning of America in the world. The games that are being played with rewriting our history, with recharacterizing the nature and purposes of the American experiment. This is a great country. It has made a huge difference for good in the already in the 21st century, certainly in the 20th and 19th and 18th centuries. But there's a serious effort by serious people to deconstruct America. That's a dangerous and bad
thing.
But
that's America. That's American scholarship, is it not? I mean, we can't blame that on the Russians or
the
Chinese.
Say, oh, but they certainly take advantage of it.
I did not say
that we can blame it on them. Although there are certainly ties to the Marxist strains of thinking that certainly clearly animate the Chinese Communist Party, mm-hmm. and probably still resonate very powerfully in the Russia of Vladimir Putin, who laments. That the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical disaster of history.
Rush.
While on social media over the last several days, I was watching, you know, some of the congressional hearing, and never in my life have I seen a bunch of politicians, our elected officials, look so out of touch when it comes to talking about TikTok and social media. They're just simply out of touch. Telling kids or even adults of what to watch or what to listen to, you cannot control it. It's just the way it goes. You have cell phones, and people are going to watch what they want to watch. Yes, it comes down to the parents. That is an absolute fact. But the idea that elected officials and President Biden are talking about wanting to close down a platform that is ruled by a generation, it's like telling me in the early 80s that we're going to shut down MTV, and it's just not happening. We get it. You have your good, your bad, and your ugly. That is a fact. But it's not just on social media. It's also on the regular TV as well.
Gina Raimondo, the former governor in Rhode Island, now a cabinet secretary, a Democrat, she warned Democrats on Capitol Hill last week and reminded them that of the 150 million people, Americans, who are on TikTok, many of them are under 35 years of age. And she said, basically, if the Democratic Party is going to be out there leading this charge, they may throw away votes of anybody under 30 for decades. So a question comes up. First of all, your reaction to it, does everybody's reaction to that? Because there's a political bipartisanship here. But again, even when there's a bipartisanship bill that moves forward, one of the parties is going to try to take advantage of it, and I want to get your reaction and then Greg and Joe's response.
So just earlier this week, I was at Stagg High School talking to about 70 kids about being civically engaged, running for office. And the most talked about or most asked question was about TikTok. And are kids that are 16-year-olds, 17. They're a couple years from voting. These are kids who, truth be told, they didn't care about politics. They can care less about politics. But guess what? Now they care. So whoever is against TikTok, watch out. There's some voters coming in the next 2 years that are not going to be voting for that person.
Greg Ballard.
Yeah.
Are your grandchildren, how are they going to react if you come out against TikTok?
That's a great statement. You never know what elected officials will go to great lengths to make sure they get votes. And to stay there. But it's also true what was said earlier about the elected officials are so far behind. I mean, they're just behind society, and I think they generally have been for routinely, and they just don't understand it. And it's kind of funny to see them ask questions and really kind of raise ignorant issues, if you will, and not being on top of things. But I think it depends on what we find out TikTok is really doing. I'm not sure I want to do away with it. I don't have the app. I mean, I have a lot of the other apps, but I see a TikTok video occasionally, and it doesn't seem harmless to me, but I don't know where all the data is going. That's the only thing that concerns me. Where is all the data going, and what are they being used for? I think there are other issues that are a little bit more problematic on social media and video and YouTube and things like that, potentially with like AI people making videos that are not true. I mean, that technology right. exists today, and so I'm worried about that probably more than TikTok.
Right. Well, but again, they will need their distribution channel, and TikTok could be 150 million. But again, what about the political aspect of this, Joe? That in this particular case, neither party, although many of them seem to be together on this issue, Congressman Crenshaw of Texas said basically he congratulated TikTok for bringing Republicans and Democrats together. But if you go ahead with this, I mean, does the Democratic Party or does the Republican Party lose everybody under 35 years of age because they're the big bad government that takes their TikTok away? Or maybe something else?
Bruce, it's always legitimate for people to think about what the political consequences of government decision-making may be. But that shouldn't be the first concern. The first concern ought to be what's good for the country. My attitude on the substance of this is it's a free country. The presumptions ought to be in favor of freedom. You ought to err on the side of letting people be free and make mistakes and do stupid things, which people will do in a free society. That's the price of freedom, and I'm all for it. But when you're a responsible government official in charge of making laws and making public policy, you have to get the facts. I'm sorry, but I'm not impressed with how our current crop of leaders are doing the job of being transparent and gathering facts.
They're showboaters.
When we come back, we did this last week, and we're going to try it again this week. We're going to make all of our guests, we're going to pretend that they're all United States senators, and they're now going to have to vote on TikTok. And I want to hear a little bit of their opening statements before they cast their vote. I'm Bruce Dumont, 1-800-723-8289. Back shortly.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings. The kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
Today, millions of people all across America are building a life in recovery from addiction and mental illness, helping themselves
and helping each other, with friends, family, and community lending their strength and support.
Join the Voices for Recovery.
Together, we are stronger.
For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral for mental and substance use disorders, for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Bruce Dumont, back to the fans of Larry Horace. We will not be able to have Larry with us this evening. We've ran into a technical issue. Speaking of technical issues, maybe this has been shut down by TikTok. Who knows? We'll find out. But Larry will be back with us at some point in the future, but he is not going to be able to be with us this evening. He's a Florida conservative commentator. We want to talk to a little bit with him about Ron DeSantis, but I think the Ron DeSantis story will be with us for a little bit longer. In fact, we'll talk about a little bit about it this evening. Last week on this program, we did a segment where we pretended all of our guests were United States senators who were about to make important votes. And so we're going to begin tonight on the issue of TikTok. I think Joe made a very important point prior to the commercial break, and that is the responsibility of government to explain to the American people the importance of issues before the Congress of the United States. And if indeed we can demonstrate to the American people that the continuation of TikTok and all the trials and tribulations that that will mean, if we can demonstrate to them that this is against our national security interest, would we rally around the flag? Would the young people, the 150 million people who love TikTok, would they turn TikTok aside and rally around the flag? That is the question, that is the atmosphere upon which I asked the question to the senior senator from Indiana, Greg Ballard. Senator Ballard, how are you going to vote on whether or not we should ban TikTok, not just in government entities and on government phones, but whether or not we should ban TikTok in American society?
The floor is yours. As a senator, I would want to make sure that our national security is at the forefront. And I need to make, but I, as a liberty-loving individual, I want to make sure that there is true harm being done. If we can assure the American public that the information being gathered stays where it should be staying, and again, government should be able to look at that. I always think government should be the referee in all of this. If we can assure that, then I think TikTok is just fine. If we cannot assure that, if we have suspicions that it is getting the information about the American people, about the American system of government, some of our secrets, if those are moving on to other places, then I think we need to ban it. And I think the young people will be there with us.
Senator, there's another piece of legislation here that wants to force TikTok to sell to some other more reputable entity, a forced sale of a commercial property. Would you support that?
Not at the current time. I don't think there's been enough evidence that the current owners are not doing the right things.
We turn to Senator Rush Darwish from the state of Illinois, who has replaced Tammy Duckworth, who's gone on to become president of the United States, based on his launching of her career this evening. Senator Darwish, would you vote for the banning of TikTok in the United States?
Well, thank you, and thank you, my fellow Americans. I am here to say that I will never vote against TikTok, because when you vote against TikTok, you vote against freedom. This is why, as your senator, I propose a bill called Cyber Firewall America. It is long, but that's exactly what we need to do. Instead of us trying to ban platforms with 150 million users, let's come up with a solution that protects us, making sure we have a firewall that ensures that we could use artificial intelligence to detect when information is getting in the wrong hands. This is where our society is going to. You cannot stop the power of social media. You cannot stop the power of people going on different platforms. But what we can stop is making sure that we have the right cybersecurity and it does not go in the wrong hands of the wrong people.
Senator Darwish, my question, your point of order to me, what about your personal conflict of interest? Don't you have a personal conflict of interest on this vote?
Well, I have personal experience, not a personal conflict. That is, somebody who uses the platforms, I understand that it is important that a lot of people right here, we all have cell phones, and with the phones come cameras, and with that means that we want to create content. We want to tell our story. That is right. Whether you want to tell your story about something you stand for or you want to show everyone a recipe you want to make. However, you need to make sure that you have a platform to tell your story. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram are those platforms. We have to make those platforms safer, but we cannot eliminate them.
In our imaginary conversation, we turn to the junior conservative Republican senator from Illinois, which is pretty much unheard of in the last 30 years, Joe Morris. Joe Morris, Senator Morris, would you please address the American people as to whether or not you're going to vote for the banning of TikTok?
Well, you talk about 30 billion or 30 trillion social media bytes, and pretty soon you're talking real numbers. I'm channeling the last conservative Republican senator from Illinois, Ev Dirksen. I think there's a fair amount of cross-aisle agreement here in the Illinois delegation. TikTok, Google, Facebook, Instagram do a lot of good, and they do a lot of harm. And that's what happens in a free country. I would like to see as much information in the hands of the consumers and the users and the parents and the other interested parties about who gets the data and what they do with it and about the harm that's done to girls and body image and the dumbing down of people generally and the coarsening of conversation and so forth. But all of that can be solved by simply getting information out there so free people can decide what they want to do. What concerns me is if behind TikTok or any other application is an enemy government, the military power of the People's Republic of China, that is mining these resources to gain information to use to do violence against us, to do harm to our interests in the world at home and abroad. That's what I want to stop. So I agree with the idea of cyber wall protections. And if it turns out that the ownership interest lurking, looming behind TikTok is the Communist Party of China, well, then yes, I would suggest forcing a divestment. Keep TikTok alive, but get the Chinese Communists out of the business.
And how do we do that, Senator?
We do it by law. We prohibit the Chinese Communists from owning an American property. We've done that with other foreign governmental entities. There's no reason why the Chinese military needs to own American resources.
Let's turn to a constituent. She is Joy. She is from Spokane, Washington. Go ahead, Joy. You're on the air.
Well, I was just going to talk about justice, but then so many other topics have come up.
Go ahead.
So, one of the things on the justice, I was just wondering what people's opinions are of how to have the most objective and fair justice system. I agree with Brian, the earlier caller, that this has been a problem for years and years of how intelligence was used and against different groups and stuff. When presidents appoint judges and Supreme Court justices, there's going to be a bias when they are up for election, and people say the Koch brothers or George Soros are influencing it. Career employees are call them the deep state. So how would the people on the panel develop a justice and police and enforcement system, a legal system that is as fair as possible?
Rush Darwish.
Joy, I agree with everything you're saying. It is really difficult, but it really comes down to we need voters to go out and vote. It's that simple. Too many people stay home. Too many people complain. And I'm not saying that's you, Joy, but a lot of folks out there watch TV, go on social media. see these political candidates, and they just stay at home and would rather complain. We need to pay attention to the good ones versus the bad ones. And if we can get more voters out there who are paying attention, and I know some people call it a woke society, that's fine. Call it what you want to call it, but we need more voters out there to be more aware of who you're voting for.
Joe Morris.
We need to get the intelligence agencies and the law enforcement agencies out of politics. There needs to be a sharp divide. If that means heads must roll, we need to realign the agencies. I'm all for that. But we also need to change our vocabulary. Politicians, lawyers, commentators, reporters, and so forth. The courts are not political bodies. They are not super legislatures. We should not be talking about the politics of judicial decisions the way we do. That alone corrupts the way in which the American people understand the jobs of courts and the judiciary, and that is the fault of the chattering classes. We have cheapened the currency of the greatest asset we have, which is our constitutional common law system.
Brush.
Joe, I wanted to ask you, you know, you talked about intelligence agency. What about all this dark money PACs? I mean, Joey's talking about corruption. What about dark money PACs that come into politics and are spending hundreds of millions of dollars to create a narrative, whether Democrat or Republican? Shouldn't we eliminate them?
I don't see that. I mean, that's freedom, isn't it? You get to talk. If we have all voices out there, I believe in the free market of ideas. I believe that the answer to speech with which you disagree is not suppression or censorship. It's more speech.
But they're the ones that are going on social media, as you know, and are filtering a lot of not just negative information, in many cases, false information. And again, both sides of the aisle.
The problem is not money. It's the content of what you're saying.
That's historical.
Greg.
That's historical. And yet we've survived it all. And so I can't agree more with Joe that we are talking down our institutions when our institutions, compared to historical standards in other countries around the world, are pretty strong. And you can say they're political, but I can't agree more that we need to let the justices be the justices and judges and see it as they see it.
Greg, we got to pause. Back shortly.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nia Hurd-Garris with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. As parents, we want our children to grow up healthy and strong. That means helping teens take responsibility for their health as they become young adults. One way to do that is to make sure they have one-on-one time with their pediatrician. That helps them become comfortable talking about any health issue with their doctors and with you. So make sure to give your teen a voice. It's good for their health. For more on teen health, visit healthychildren.org.
It's a bully, but we aren't afraid of a fight. It's elusive, but our focus never fades. It's deadly, but we were born to defeat cancer. You may not have heard of us, but our work has helped millions impacted by cancer. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We are leaders in advancing breakthroughs in immunotherapy, genomics, and personalized medicine. This research saves lives. After 65 years of fighting blood cancers, we've arrived at a game-changing belief. The cures for cancer are in our blood. The drugs and treatments we've developed for blood cancers have helped people affected by many different types of cancers. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Beating cancer is in our blood. Learn more at LLS.org.
If you talk, your name will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them,
they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
We continue with Beyond the Beltway, and Greg Ballard, back to you. The former mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana. We mentioned that you were a longtime associate of Mike Pence, but as you look at the presidential field and the primary that will take place in Indiana, how would you assess the field now? And above and beyond Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, is there anyone else that you think is a serious possibility for 2024?
That's a great question, and people are always talking about DeSantis being the front runner, and now they're talking about Trump has moved it forward. Historically, the front runner 2 years out does not win the nomination. I can't recall an instance where that has been true. So I'm not sure that either one of those folks are going to be the nominee. Things change as you go forward. It's interesting who's getting in there. I kind of wish Larry Hogan of Maryland was getting into it, but he's not going to. I have reservations about all of them because of their inability to say what January 6th really was, ties to some of those people. But some of them appeal to me. I'm a moderate. I'm a practical person, and I want people to actually get things done. And I'm not sure I'm seeing too much of that right now.
Asa Hutchinson, the former governor of Arkansas, is about to throw his hat into the ring in the next 30 days. He has been described as the darkest of dark horses. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. I think Nikki Haley has potential, frankly, but will people go for her? I don't know. I think anybody that comes across as a practical a person who understands the history of the United States and has wisdom and can provide a vision for where we want to go and where we should go, and I think that's an important point too, where we should go, then I think they're going to catch some fire.
If you had a group of Democratic women together, they would all be talking about the importance of having a Democratic woman, and Kamala Harris would be great, even though they may not think she's the best political person, but they think that because she is a woman, that gender should lead. If there was a similar group of Republican women that got together, I don't think many of them would be talking about the importance of having a woman as the presidential candidate. They may like the idea, but I don't think it's the same thing for Nikki Haley. Do you agree with that? That Republican women are different?
I do think that, and I don't think they necessarily go to anybody just because she's a woman. I just don't see that among Republican women.
What about Tim Scott? Again, African American senator from South Carolina. He too is thinking about running. I don't know what lane he would be in, but how serious a candidate do you think that he would be?
I think he'd be a serious candidate, and I think I think people would listen to him. Because he has a lot of good ideas. I'm a big, this is just my prejudice. I like people who have been in executive positions. I like people who have been mayors and governors because mm-hmm. That's a different animal than right. being a legislator. And so that part is important to me.
Is there anyone else out that I have not mentioned that you think should be considered?
I can go to my old standby, which is always Mitch Daniels, who I think should have been the president of the United States way back when, because brilliant guy, very practical. But of the other people that are considering it, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Joe Morris, does Nikki Haley float your boat in any way?
Oh, sure. I think she's very bright and very articulate. And she did a fabulous job as governor of South Carolina and a very good job at the United Nations. I agree with the mayor that it's nice to see people who've been governors and mayors, that Governor Noem of South Dakota, is it?
Kristi Noem.
Kristi Noem, yeah. She's certainly somebody one ought to look at. Speaking of Republican women, I live with one. This morning,
is she running?
No, and like Mitch Daniels' wife, she won't let me run either.
Yeah, our wives are always running for something. They're running for president of the household, and win.
There was one of our metropolitan newspapers here in Chicago this morning had a piece about women in politics from the point of view of supposed neutrals. But it was stunning that it was discussing only Democratic women.
Yeah.
And as if you're not really a woman if you're a Republican. And, my wife made the point that the remarkable thing about somebody like Nikki Haley or Governor Noem and so forth is that they arrive at prominent positions in politics not because they have been chosen by a husband, in the case of Bill
right.
Clinton, or as a running mate, as in the case of Kamala Harris, but because they've gotten in the arena and fought. And my wife made the very interesting proposition. Look at the mother country. Look at the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom has had three female prime ministers, Margaret Thatcher, Theresa May, and Liz Truss. Every one of them was a conservative. The Labour Party has never been led by a woman. The Socialist Party, the counterpart of the Democratic Party in the United mm-hmm. States, never supplied a female prime minister. If a woman climbs to the presidency of the United States, she's probably going to be a conservative Republican woman because she is not mm-hmm. she's not claimed the position by virtue of her gender. She's fought for it by virtue of her policies and her achievements.
Quick response, Sir Rush.
I will say, I want to go back to what Greg said. I mean, he hit it on the money when it comes to, you know, who you interested in, who has a chance to win. It is way too early. In 2006, if somebody said 5 years after 9/11 that a Barack Hussein Obama was going to be the president, I would laugh him out the building. If somebody in 2014 told me that some guy who hosts The Apprentice, Donald Trump, was going to be the president, I would laugh him out the building. It is just way too early, but you know what? It's great to talk about it.
On that point, Rush Darwish, thank you very much. Joe Morris, thank you very much. Greg Ballard, thank you very much for joining us live from Indianapolis, Indiana this evening. I'm Bruce Dumont. I want to thank our good friend who's been here year in, year out, Fritz Goldman, who keeps the trains running on time, the phones humming from time to time. And to our friend Larry Horst, we will be sharing the microphones with you sometime in the weeks to come. We'll be talking more about Ron DeSantis. I guess one Republican years ago probably would say Donald Trump and DeSantis. That's the team. I don't think that's going to be a team anymore. I think that's an idea who's come and gone. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
Goodbye, bench press. Adios, squat rack. Fare thee well, kettlebell.
Hey, Kellen, need a spot?
No, Jake from State Farm. I'm just saying goodbye to my pricey gym membership.
What? Don't give up what you love. State Farm has options like insuring your home and ride with great rates on both.
Nice. Hey, can I buy you a protein shake or a granola bar? Or...
For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home. Whoa.
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
At Jersey Mike's, you can elevate any sub by getting the juice. Red wine, vinegar, and an olive oil blend. It's how a Jersey Mike's sub gets its exquisite zing and how bites get boosted. The juice adds a certain something extra, an exclamation on top of the freshly sliced meats and toppings, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Order Jersey Mike's subs on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.